Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you were here 9 months ago on March 25th for our celebration of the Feast of the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel first announced to the Virgin Mary that she would conceive the Son of God in her womb and give him birth. Listen to what I said in the conclusion of that sermon. 9 months from today, Lord willing, we'll be gathered together again celebrating Christmas, almost certainly in a world that looks quite different than it did last Christmas. It wasn't a prophecy per se, but it was somewhat prophetic, wasn't it? And the divine counsel I gave to our congregation at that time was this: so hold on to the things that don't move, that don't change. We've gathered together this evening, 9 months later, in a world that does look quite different than it did last Christmas. We've gathered together because of one of those immovable, unchanging things, to hold on to it and to be uplifted by it. To the holy night when to us was born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It may seem too obvious to say in church, but in today's world it bears saying it out loud. The Christmas story that you heard this evening from St. Luke's Gospel is real. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a myth or a legend. It's not symbolic of some grander truth. A virgin really conceived the Son of God in her womb by the power of God the Holy Spirit. 9 months later, she and her betrothed husband really traveled down to Bethlehem from Nazareth to comply with the Roman census. And they lodged in a stable, and there she really gave birth to the Word of God who had taken on human flesh in her womb. And she really wrapped up her newborn baby in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger in a feeding trough for animals. And there really were shepherds staying out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and they really were scared half to death when they saw the brilliant light of the glory of the Lord shining around them and an angel standing in front of them. But they had nothing to fear from this angel, because, as he said, he came to bring them good news of great joy for all the people. Why good news? Why great joy? Nothing in the circumstances of the shepherds had changed that night. Nothing in the circumstances of anyone in Bethlehem or in Judea, or in Israel, or in the rest of the world, had changed a bit. And yet it was good news of great joy, because a promise that had been made some 4,000 years earlier to a newly created but already hopelessly ruined human race had finally begun to be fulfilled. The promise made to our first mother, Eve, that her seed, her offspring, would do battle with that ancient serpent, the devil, and would win. And his victory would open the door for the rest of our race to be rescued from the devil's kingdom. Because without that promised seed, because without him, where we would all be is still in the devil's kingdom. Because of sin. Sin is the great problem, the real problem that has plagued humanity since the beginning. Every virus, every war, every act of hatred, every act of tyranny, every lie, every bout of depression and loneliness, every broken relationship, every death has been caused by sin. Sin that we commit with our hands or speak with our mouths or embrace in our hearts. Sins that are committed against us by others. Sin that corrupts every part of us, body and soul. Sin that defies, disobeys, and disbelieves God. Sin that corrupts all of us and turns us inward to focus on ourselves, to trust in ourselves, to serve ourselves. The devil had us by right. There was no good news. We couldn't save ourselves, and none of the gods of the nations could save us either. We were doomed to a pointless existence on earth and to an eternal punishment in hell. But then, to us, a child was born. To us, a son was given, born like us, but without sin, given to reveal God's love for our wretched, miserable, loveless human race, given to carry out God's plan to redeem our race by giving his own life as a sacrifice on a cross. The angel called it glad tidings or good news, otherwise known as the gospel. It's of great joy for all the people because God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's an open invitation, Christmas is, to all people, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, to turn to this child in humble faith and to find there a God who loved you this much and who wanted you this badly to be saved, that he gave his only begotten Son into the world for you. To you is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Then the great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel and sang that famous song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Glory to God in the highest, that is, in the highest places. Glory in the heavens where the star appeared with its light that guided the eastern sages to find the one who had been born king of the Jews in Bethlehem. Glory among the heavenly hosts of angels who serve God by serving us. Glory among those souls now at rest with God who had fallen asleep, trusting in God's promise to send the Messiah one day to redeem them from sin, death, and the devil. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now make no mistake, the Christian message of peace on earth cannot be separated from the baby who was born on Christmas night, who is true God and true man, the Messiah whom God had promised to the Old Testament people of Israel, the Christ for whom the Jews who originally kept the menorah lit were waiting. The angel's song of peace on earth was not a wish for us all to get along with each other in peace. It was a proclamation of what God was sending to earth, of what God was doing on earth in the person of his Son, to bring peace between him and mankind because of his goodwill toward men. Only where sinners have been reconciled with God through Christ by faith can they truly begin to live at peace with one another. Tonight, we proclaim and celebrate that which is real, the birth of the Savior who is Christ the Lord. And if his birth is a real event in history, then God's love for us is also real. And so is his guidance and governance of the events that are taking place today in the world, in our country, in your life. So hold on to the things that don't move, that don't change. Hold on to God's love for you in Christ Jesus and seek refuge in Him from every storm. And no matter what happens between now and next Christmas, you will find peace and hope and joy in the God who is with us, Emmanuel. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.